I started singing when I was a little fella. My grandmother loved to tell the story before she passed away that when I was just a little boy, I was her oldest grandchild, and that she would watch me while my parents worked, and she and I would swing on the porch and sing all day. And I praise the Lord for that. And my dad would always get very angry with her. She told the story, and because she could not help but to add to the story that, and when your parents came home to get you, you would just cry and cry and cry. My mother said a few times, my dad said, just leave him here. Yeah. Well, again, my name is Meredith Ransom, and I was born in Sparta, Georgia, which is where our church, Harvesters Baptist Church, is. I grew up there, went to school, left Sparta, went to Atlanta, and met my wife and started a family there, and really got to know the Lord and was saved, and the Lord blessed me with a good woman who was already saved, and it really, you know, was a pivotal point in my life, and you know, God began to work in our lives, and you know, you never know what God's plan is for you, but as you live for the Lord, you can really, you know, surrender yourself to the Lord. You can see the Lord doing some mighty things, and I wish I could say that looking back, I was really that wise and that holy, but I really didn't know, and the Lord moved us from Atlanta, moved us to Columbus, Ohio, and my mother thought that was an absolute impossible idea. I told her I had to go to Ohio for an interview, that they offered me a job. She said, you did not take it, did you? Yeah, I did. And we moved to Ohio, and it was there that the Lord really began to speak to us, and really we saw ourselves really growing in the Lord and our relationship with Him. And to make a long story short, the Lord moved us back to Atlanta, and we began going to Meadow Baptist Church, which is right down the street from BMW, and it was there that the Lord called me to preach and allowed me to serve, and it was not long after that the Lord really began to impress upon me that there were people in my own family even who were lost and without Christ, and that is how we ended up in Sparta. And when my wife and I got together, she is not from a small town. She was not attracted to Sparta. And I had mentioned to her once, not about going down there to start a church, but I said, you know, one day I think I might like to move back to Sparta. And she told me I could move back there by myself. But you know, as the Lord begins to work on your in your life, and you don't even know how the Lord is working on you as a couple, because I had no idea. And when the Lord called, I feel like the Lord laid it on my heart to go there, and I began to really pray about it and consider, and I was very nervous about telling my wife what I thought the Lord would have me to do, because I thought my wife was definitely not going to believe that it was the Lord, that it was just me wanting to get back home. And when I mustered up enough nerve to tell her, she said, I know, and I'm ready. And so it was, and she was ready too. I mean, she did not just say she was ready. She was ready. The next day she was on the internet. She was looking for houses. I said, oh my goodness. And the following weekend we went down and we looked at houses, and a couple of weeks after that we had one. And she was on the ball. And so we've been there since 2003. We started the church in April we've been there since 2004. We started the church in April of 2005. So we're about to celebrate our fifth anniversary, and the Lord has really been blessing us. And just to give you a little background on Sparta, it's a small town, which is why most of you have never heard of it. It's in the middle of the state. There's about 10,000 people in the county, about a little bit over 1,000 people in the city. I live in the city. And but the Lord has certainly blessed us there. We have a small congregation of people who are coming faithfully, and we're trusting the Lord that in His own time He'll give us more opportunities to reach more people, and we'll be able to see more people come to know the Lord as we do. It is a, you know, somebody made the comment today that a prophet is not welcomed or in his own hometown, and that's a paraphrase, but that is most certainly the truth. I thought going back to Sparta was going to be easy. I'll have to admit that to you. I thought it was going to be a place where, you know, I knew a number of people and it would be relatively easy to get going there. And that was not true. There are many days that it's felt like being in a foreign place, on a foreign mission. I just speak the language with these people, and that's all. But you know that I believe that God is going to carry out his will, and I believe his will is that the people in Sparta will hear the gospel, and we're just trying to be faithful to that. We're going to be in 1 Kings tonight, and it's going to really talk a little bit about that, the need to be focused on the right things. You know, the Lord has really impressed upon me of late the importance of putting the emphasis on the people. And I know some of you are saying, huh? Well, of course, that's got to be the focus. But, you know, sometimes you can get so wrapped up into doing what you do that you can forget about people. And that ministry is really about people. And it's not about, you know, where you meet and what you do. It's not even about how many people you draw, but it's about people. And the Lord has really laid that upon my heart. And what I want to share with you today is just a little bit from 1 Kings chapter 13. It talks about how important it is that we make people the main focus. Because people are under attack, all people. And that even the most spiritual, those who appear to be the most spiritual, can be under the most harm of being led away. You know, I have a friend who is a missionary to Jehovah's Witnesses, and know the cults, and one of the things that he talks about is that these places are filled with people who used to be in churches just like mine and the one that you go to, and that they have been led away because someone has come and they've given them what they believe to be a little bit of truth, and it sounds better than what you told them, better than what I told them, and they found themselves turning away. And you think that it might be impossible, but I believe the Bible gives us examples of how important it is that we keep giving people the main thing, that we give them the Word of God and we teach people how to live faithfully by the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Well, in 1 Kings chapter number 13, if I'll just give you a little bit of background, and Jerry told me I had like 15 minutes. That's like saying, you know, I don't know how that even happens. You know, when I stand up, I need at least 50 minutes, so I'm going to give you a few minutes and I'm going to try to get out of here. All right, well, I told my wife, I said, I got to do a short message. She said, wow, that's going to be hard for you. And that is hard for me. But in 1 Kings chapter 13, to give you a little bit of background, it's the end of a period where there's been great joy in the lives of the children of Israel. And then they find themselves at a period of great, it's a low time for them. And the high point has been just a few chapters before. We read about Solomon and how God allowed Solomon to build the temple and how Solomon set it up and how Solomon prayed and how he worshiped the Lord for what the Lord had done and how Solomon prayed for the people that, Lord, if these people, when they find themselves in sin and there's enemies about them and they're drawn away and you allow them to be taken captivity and they just turn and repent and pray toward this place, then you hear them and he just prayed for the people. And we saw Solomon as a true man of God. And then not so long after that, we see that Solomon's heart was turned away by all of the wives that he picked up along the way, how he began to set up these places of worship for all these idols, these false gods, and how God was not pleased with that, and how God ripped away the kingship of the total of all of Israel and broke it into two pieces, part of it going to Rehoboam, the other part going to Jeroboam. And that's kind of where we're going to pick up today with these two men. And I just want to show you how we got to focus on people, how I have to put my emphasis on people more than on anything else, because the people are being persuaded to run away from the things of the Lord, to run away from a faithfulness in the Lord, and they're returning instead after their old ways. And I think that it's our responsibility as true Christians, as true children of God, to encourage people to stay on the right path. And 1 Kings chapter 13, we'll begin reading at verse number 1. It says, "And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar and the word of the Lord, and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priest of the high places that burn incense upon them, and men's bones shall be burned upon them. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, This is a sign which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, Lay hold on him. And his hand, which he put forth against him, dried up, so that he could not pull it in again to him. The altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, Entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before. And the king said unto the man of God, Come home with me, and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, If thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so was it charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, Eat no bread, drink no water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel." What a powerful story there. As if you've read on, you know the story of Jeroboam, how many terrible things that he did. And he had a reputation of doing more evil to the children of Israel than anyone else. But here God gives him an opportunity to have a change of heart. God sends to him a man of God. He sends him a man that gives him a word that says, you know what? There's going to be another king. He's going to replace you. There's going to be a king who's going to burn all of the priests and all of the things that you've done. All these rituals are going to be torn down right here on this altar. And then when he tries to prevent the will of God, God makes his hand to dry up so that he can't even draw it back in again. And when he asks this prophet to pray, and if you'll notice in the verses here, it says, you pray to the Lord your God. And you ask the Lord your God if he will restore my hand again. And the Bible says the prophet did just that, and the Lord followed through, and the Lord gave him back the full use of his hand. And then the man, not really understanding, Jeroboam, not really understanding, or not really willing to understand or to serve the Lord, said unto this man, you know what? I know it was the Lord, your God, that did it, but I want to give you a reward. I want to give you a reward. I want you to come in and you sup with me, and I'll give you whatever you want. But here the man of God makes a great resolve in that he says, not even if you gave me half of everything you have, because you know what? I serve God, is what he was saying. And I'm not going to turn back. He says, I'm not going to eat with you. I'm not going to drink with you, because God has told me not even to go back the same way in which I came. Now, my application here is this. You know, thinking about our service to the Lord, what the Lord desires from us more than anything else is a change. You think about the man, the woman that you used to be before you really came to know the Lord, before you accepted him as your Savior. God says, you know what, I don't want you to be that man anymore. And I'll tell you, that's one of the greatest challenges that I have in Sparta, Georgia today, is that getting people to understand that what having a relationship with the Lord means is that the man, the woman that you used to be, that you don't want to be that person anymore. You want to change. You want to be like God gives us the same command that he gave to this prophet. He says, once you've been obedient, once you've surrendered yourself to me, I don't want you to turn and go back that same way again. I don't want you to eat with those people that you ate with before. I don't want you to drink in the same places that you drank before. I want you to go a different way. I want you to go a different way. And you know, God, he said that over and over to us. You go a different way. you change, and that's got to be the focus. You remember what he said to Nicodemus? Look in John 3. Keep your finger there. We'll go back there. But in John chapter 3, you remember what he said to Nicodemus? When Nicodemus came and he was inquiring of the Lord, and he wanted to know what would it take for him to be a child of the Lord. And in John chapter 3, verse number 3, Jesus told him, if I could paraphrase it this way, brother, you got to change. He said, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again. And you know, I believe that born again can be, you know, that's like a church phrase. And if we overuse our church phrase, we can confuse people. But when I talk to people, I tell them, you know what God is saying to you? Except you be changed, you'll never see the kingdom of God. Except you decide that you don't want to go the same way that you came, that you don't want to do the same things that you've done before. Except you be born again, you won't even be able to see it. And I believe the same is true of what God told to the prophet who he sent to see Jeroboam. He said, brother, you're going to go. You're going to see something miraculous happen. If you pray, I'm going to answer. But the important part is, don't go the same way that you came. Don't eat, don't drink, don't tarry with them. Get out of there. Be faithful. Well, you know, we could shout about the prophet here in 1 Kings 13 if we don't read the rest of the story. And we have to read the rest of the story so that we can understand how important it is for you and I that we teach people that becoming a child of God means changing and not going back, making a resolution that we're going to put our feet down. Now, I think that's what the Bible means when God says we ought to be steadfast and unmovable. I think what God is saying is that we need to really put our feet down. And we need to make a resolve that we're not going to let anybody pull us either one way or the other. We're going to follow after the Lord. You know, I think there's so many stories in the Bible about what it means to be faithful. And one of my favorites is when the Ark of the Covenant had been stolen away. And when they were trying to determine exactly, you know, whether it was the Lord who was doing everything or if this was just some, you know, bad omen. And they said, you know, here's the things we're going to do. We're going to get a brand new cart and we're going to get a brand new animals. And we're going to take away their babies and we're going to put them on the road and we're going to see where they go. Well, you know, I think we ought to be faithful like that, because we saw faithfulness when we see these animals and how they responded when the Lord was using them. The Bible says, they put them there. They had children this way. They went this way. And it said they didn't look to the left. They didn't look to the right. They didn't graze. They didn't do anything. They didn't go back the way that they came. They were going to do a work for the Lord. And I think if these dumb animals can do it, certainly we can. Certainly we can. But we got to make a resolve. We got to make a resolve. Now let me show you the prophet man. And I want to show you how we can get drawn away. And I say we because it could happen to any of us, except that we stay faithful to the Lord, except we pray, we ask the Lord to keep our feet firmly planted on the ground, keep us faithful to Him. Well, if we go back to 1 Kings chapter number 13, so here's the man. He has already been tempted once. He was tempted by the king. He was tempted by the king. The king said, you know what, you want to be prosperous? Let me tell you something. He said, you know, you're in with God, if I could go this far and put it this way. It's like the king was saying, you're in with God. I saw you heal a man's arm that was, for all indications, it was done. He said, you're in with God. You want to be rich. You want to be rich. You can be rich right now. Come to my house. I'll give you whatever you want. Let me tell you, so many times we see people drawn away by the idea that the gospel is some great means of getting rich. You know, that we can find favor in the Lord. You know, certainly I believe that we have favor, God's favor. God's favor is that all things are going to work together for us. And what does that mean? The suffering that I have to deal with, all the difficulties that I deal with, it's all preparing me for the day when He's going to come and get me. That's how it's all working together for my good. It doesn't mean that everything, that I'm just dripping with good. But here this man was drawn away. He was, the king was seeking to draw him away with prosperity. If you watch television, you know that that is one of the draws today. You know, that is one of the draws today. You know, don't, you don't have to change. You don't have to change. You just need to be willing to be prosperous. You need to be willing to bring all that you have and lay it before the Lord and then trust that the Lord is going to give it back to you twofold or threefold. Just have a desire to be prosperous, not a desire to be faithful, but just a desire to prove that the Lord will do great things for you. I think the world today, the king is like a picture of the world, I think, and the world is really today trying to draw away people from the true gospel. The true gospel. And God said, you know, that God's already told us that those who are just seeking after riches, they were going to find themselves in a whole lot of trouble. You say, well, why did you say that? Look in 1 Timothy. I didn't warn you guys that I like to turn the pages in the Bible, so I don't apologize. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. We'll just read a couple of verses there. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Look down at verse number 6. And I see this as a reason why we need to make sure that we're teaching people not about how they can gain from God, not physical riches, but the true riches of God, understanding who God is and what God has promised for us. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, skip down to verse number 6, the Bible says this. He says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. And that's what we want to teach people in the gospel. This is what God has been pounding into my head, is that people, most of all, they need to understand that the best possible thing that they can gain is contentment and godliness with the Lord. Verse 7 says, For we brought nothing into this world, and certain that we carry nothing out. We can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. But they that will be rich fall into a temptation and a snare, and diminish foolish and hurtful lust, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of evil. It's the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Many, they turn around. They go the way that they came, just looking for prosperity and riches and all that there is for them. So I think this, the prophet in our Old Testament story was certainly encouraged to claim the prosperity rather than to be faithful to the Lord. And I want to show you how there were others who were religious who also were trying to draw him away. Go back, if you would, to 1 Kings 13. Verse number 11. Verse 10, he went his way, he refused the king. Verse 11 says, now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king. Them they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon. And went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. And then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. He has the same resolve, it appears. But now he's being approached by someone religious. And I want to tell you something. You know, there are people out there who are fighting against people like you and me who are trying to give people the gospel. And they are Christian by name. They are religious. And rather than being content with godliness and understanding that to be great gain, you know what they want? They want the positions, they want the honor and the like. And here was a man who was an old prophet. And he's not going to be content with this man's resolve. Verse 17 says, for it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread, nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. And he said unto him, I am a prophet also, as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. And the Bible says, but he lied unto him. So he went back with him, and he did eat bread in his house, and he drank water. You know what that means? To me, it means, you know, people have to be the most important of all. And getting the truth to the people has to be the most important of all. Because there are religious or so-called religious people who are seeking to lead those away, who are babes in the Word of God, who are still having to have milk when they ought to be eating the meat. They ought to be chewing on something more serious than that. Well, there are some who are coming along and who are saying, you know what, God spoke to me. I know that you think you have an understanding of the Word of God, but God spoke to me. And you know, it's something fantastic to hear from the Lord directly. The Lord has given me a word to give you. How many times have you heard that on the television? The Lord told me. And people are being drawn away. And here was a man who had made a resolve. The king couldn't convince him. But someone who he thought was of like faith, if God told you, even though I heard him myself tell me, don't go back, don't eat, don't drink. Well, this man, he's a brother. God told him something different. People have got to understand that this is the absolute Word of God. And this is the authority. This is the authority. God's impressed upon me that I've got to be the one that's out there saying, we got to trust in the Word of God. And the people have got to be the most important thing of all. The most important thing of all. Well, the prophet, he was convinced that the religious man was giving him sound counsel. But God has told us time and time again that we need to mark those who are among us, who are with us. You know, we need to try all things, prove all things. I believe that we have an obligation to tell people who God really is, and then we got to tell them to go to the Word of God and consult the Word of God, look for the will of God, pray and ask God to give them direction in their lives. The religious man was drawn away by someone else who appeared to be religious in his own right. Now, I want to show you one verse there to support how we ought to make sure that we are doing the right thing, and then we'll move on. Look in Romans, if you would, chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. Just two verses there. Keep your finger in 1 Kings. We're going back. In Romans chapter number 16, verses 17 and 18. Here's what God tells us. In verse 17, it says, now I beseech you, brethren, and I believe this is the counsel that we have to give to people so that they might understand that following after God, they're going to be approached by some who claim to be Christian, who won't be Christian at all. He says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. You know, now that there's an obligation to me, first of all. I got to teach them the right doctrine so then that they will be able to test this wrong doctrine against the true doctrine of God. He says, I want you to mark those which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned and avoid them. For they that are such serve not, and I highlighted this in my Bible, our Lord Jesus Christ. Not our Lord Jesus Christ. Guess what? The prophet, the old prophet, and the man who had come with a message from the Lord, they didn't serve the same God. They didn't serve the same God, but here he thought they did because he didn't prove it. He didn't try it. He didn't consult the one who had given him the message. He says, they don't serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but they serve their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple. Go back to 1 Kings. I'm almost done. So here's the prophet. He's been turned away. He's gone back, and now he's going to eat. And he's going to drink, return the way that he came. And you know what? He was expecting to be rewarded for that. And I believe that today there are people who are so deceived that they believe that they can come into a place like this, or they can meet someone on the street and they can claim that they have accepted Christ. They can make a confession that has no feet at all, and they can return and go do the same things that they've done, and they expect that they're going to be rewarded for that. Well, guess what? There's no reward in that. And there was no reward in that for our prophet here. Look, if you would, beginning at verse number 19. So he went back with him, and he did eat in his bread in his house, and he drank water. Verse 20 says, and it came to pass as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, For as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back, and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of the which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread, drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. And it came to pass, after he had eaten bread, and after he had drunk, that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him. And his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it, and the lion also stood by the carcass. What's the urgency? What's the urgency of making people the main thing, the most important thing? It's because justice and judgment is coming. It's coming. You know, God has promised that there will be a day when every knee is going to bow. And we have an obligation, I believe. You know, we can't save folks. We can't just ram it down their throats, most certainly. But what we can do is give them the truth. God has impressed that upon me. And you say, well, brother, you should have known that all along. Yeah, I have. But, you know, sometimes I think God has to bring me full circle. I might be the only one. But sometimes he brings you full circle and he says, make sure you don't lose sight of what's the main thing. Because there's justice and there's judgment. It's coming. And when you begin to put names and faces to the people that you know who've been turned back, who have turned and are still eating the same bread and drinking the same wine, the same water, you begin to get a real urgency for what the Lord is saying. You know, there are people in my community that I'm still praying for and hoping that the Lord will change their hearts. You know, people who are terribly confused. You know, some of them I know personally. You know, one of them is my father. You know, my father is a, you know, I tell you that I'm happy that we're celebrating 5 years. And in the 5 years I've been there, my father's yet to come to our church. And, but it's because, you know, he has turned and he has returned the same way. And he thinks that what he has is simply good enough. It's simply good enough. And I thought about him as I was kind of penning the last parts of this message, because there was a day most recently that my mother was sick. And my father said, you know, I just don't know what to do. All I can do is trust in the Lord. Yet he won't. When she's better, he turns and he goes back the same way. And he eats and he drinks the same thing. But God says it's urgent. It's urgent. And it's urgent that we be about his work. And let's just, I'll close here. Romans 13, one last turn. Romans 13, it's urgent. And as I thought about the prophet, his resolve, how easily he was turned away, it just impressed upon me how important it is that we be about our Father's business. Why? Romans 13, verse 11, if I could just kind of pick that out, and I don't think I'll be using it out of context, when the Bible says this, and that, knowing the time, that now it is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The time of the Lord is close. It's closer. And it's urgent that we make people the most important thing of all. Amen. Appreciate that. Thank you.